Amen. We're very glad this morning to have everybody in the house. We have our special guests, Tim and Bambi and Zion Warden, missionaries to the Philippines. And Tim's going to be bringing the message later, so you don't have to hear me for 1 week. But here I am still talking to you. So as we're singing through our songs today, if I stop, everybody keep going, okay? Because just singing by myself these songs yesterday, I started getting emotional. Because the songs are all about us being there for each other and God being there for us in the midst of all of that. And that comes out of Tim's passage, which is going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And his message is titled, Becoming a Source of Encouragement. So we're talking about encouraging one another this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And I'll read verses 1 through 5. Let's hear God's word together. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God that is at Corinth, with all the saints who are in the whole of Achaia, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of all mercies, and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our afflictions, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. Amen. You notice the very first word, I'm not stealing any of your thunder, I don't think. The very first word here is blessed be God and Father. So that's what we're doing this morning in worship. We're blessing his name, recognizing how he's blessed us.
Here, can you hear me okay? Well, good morning. Yeah, I hope you're hungry for the word of God today. I want to share an encouraging word with you. I'm titled this message, Becoming a Source of Encouragement. Becoming a Source of Encouragement. The world is full of discouraging environments today. I mean, you just watch the news and it can get you discouraged. You watch some social media banter back and forth, or hear about, the virus, and there's a pandemic, more than just the virus is a pandemic of fear and disappointments and discouragements. And so in that environment, there's a lot of people that are suffering from discouragement, depression, and just a general feeling of hopelessness. That is exactly Satan's strategy. The thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. He wants to distract us. He wants to deceive us, to divide us, and to destroy us ultimately. That is Satan's strategy, and his weapon that he uses is discouragement. One of Satan's primary weapons is to discourage, and no respecter of male or female, young or old, rich or poor, educated or not, everyone can be discouraged, and Satan knows that. That prolonged feeling of despair, and you feel like there's just no hope. If you break down the word discouragement, you got dis, which means without or removed from. Come on, give me another word that starts with dis. Appointment. Discomfort. Despair. Disaster, right? Or I would say maybe disconnect. It's without a connection. Discord, without accord. Discomfort, right. So there's so many things. So you got the word dis, and then courage. It's discourage. So it's without courage. Discouragement is where the confidence and the courage is sapped out of you. You don't feel the energy anymore. It's easy to become discouraged these days. Can anybody relate with that? Can you relate with discouragement? You may have said it sometimes. I'm afraid for our nation. You may have caught yourself feeling that I'm worried about our finances. I'm fearful for my health, or I'm so discouraged about where the world is. What about our marriage is on the rocks? I'm concerned, deeply concerned about my children. Will my kids know the Lord? It's easy to get discouraged these days. And maybe some of us have even felt discouraged about God. God, where are you? Does he even care? Why is he not answering our prayers? The message for the world in general, the world, I believe the message that we need to tell the world is that they need Jesus. Jesus is the answer for the world. But the message for the church, I believe, in this season right now, the message that God has for the church is we need to encourage one another. Amen? If you agree with that, say amen. We need to be encouraging one another. We've got to, now the word encourage is putting courage in. Putting courage back in. We've got to do that. It doesn't happen accidentally. It's got to be intentional. Amen? So being encouraged does not exempt you from the bumps in life. But it helps you shock absorb it. Encouragement is that where you have you have the courage, just like courage. Courage doesn't mean the absence of feelings of fear. It just means that you have the tenacity or the strength to go through despite feelings of fear. Encouragement is not where you don't have discouraging things happening around you, but it's your capacity has increased so that you can handle them. You know, in the Philippines, we've got incredible potholes. And it's difficult to get through. It beats up the cars like you wouldn't believe. And yesterday, Bert took us in a little ride in his limousine. And I thought that was awesome. And we went over some terrible railroad tracks. And yet, you hardly could feel it. It didn't make hardly a sound at all. It just went because the suspension was so fine. And it just shock absorbed that. And that's what I think encouragement is like that shock absorber. You're going to go through things, but you'll make it through whatever you need to go through. So encouragement is what we all need. And you can do amazing things when you're encouraged. People can do incredible things, things that are beyond themselves. But we also can spiral into failure and unwise decisions when we're discouraged. Discouragements can really take it out of a man or a woman. But don't you wish you could buy some encouragement at the grocery store? That'd be awesome to just walk into a cafe and say, I'd like a cup of praise and compliments. I want a platter of agreements. Can I order somebody to agree with me? Wouldn't it be cool if the waitress would sit down, not just serve you food, but sit down and just encourage you? While you're waiting on your food, you know, they just sit down and agree with what you, you know, and just compliment you and just put courage in you. I'd go to a restaurant like that, wouldn't you? I'd go to a restaurant. That might be a trend someday. People need encouragement today. People really, Zion, when he was raising funds one time, he would sell encouragements. My son Zion was like 7 or something, but he would sell encouragement for 5 pesos or 5 or 10 pesos. He would just agree with anything you said. He would just say good things about you. No matter how ridiculous it was, he would just say agree. And he raised funds that way. There's a demand today for encouragement. Quite a demand. But seriously, where can you get encouragement? Seriously, where can you get encouragement? What's the source? Where do you go to tap into? It's God, isn't it? God is our source and supplier for encouragement. Psalms chapter 73:26, my health may fail and my spirit may grow weak, But God remains the strength of my heart and my portion forever. The joy of the Lord, we sang it a while ago. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Strength, encouragement, they really go together. God told Joshua, be strong and courageous. Oftentimes throughout scripture, strength is coupled with encouragement, courage. The King James Version, interesting, does not use, in the whole New Testament, you don't find the word encourage in the King James Version. Instead, the word is translated comfort.
Comfort.
The Greek word is paraklesis, which is very similar to the word parakleo or parakletos, which was the word Jesus used, the exact word Jesus used when he introduced the Holy Spirit as our comforter. And it says over here, we read this verse, but I just want to go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 to 5. In this passage, comfort is mentioned 10 or 12 times. But just in verse 3 to 5, it says, God is our merciful Father. He's our source. He's our sire. He sires us. We're his offspring, spiritually speaking. And he is the source of all comfort. God's the source of encouragement. King James translates it comfort. And it says he comforts or he encourages us in all of our troubles so that we can comfort, encourage others. When they are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort or encouragement God has given us. And there was a guy named Joseph in the early church. They nicknamed him Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. And that nickname stuck because Barnabas was he encouraged people. He was a radical and generous giver and encouraged the church that way. He came along and oriented the newly converted Paul. He stuck alongside with John Mark during the time when he needed to grow in his faith. You know, the word para means paraklesis, the word translated comfort. Para means come along. And the klesis is to be invited, to be called to come alongside you. That's what it's like to be encouraged. Someone is coming alongside you when you need help, coming alongside you when you need strength, when you need courage put in you. And Barnabas was called the son, listen to that, son of. The Bible didn't say that Barnabas meant the father of encouragement. No, he was the son, Bar, son, which means he must have had a father. You're not a son unless you've got a sire, a father. What happens is Barnabas tapped into the source of encouragement. And then he, like his father, became also a subsource. And that's my message really today. I hope you remember that. If you forget everything else, that God is our source to be encouraged. And as we download encouragement from our source, then we can become a subsource to others and encourage them with what God has given to us. So my purpose is that you would be encourageable today, filled with courage or courage put in you. And so you're encouraged. And that you will then go out and be a source, a subsource of encouragement to the people that you live and work and associate with. We need to be encouraging each other in this day. Now, God, this is another sermon if you would take notes, but God encourages us using, I think, three P's. He uses his presence, you know, just his presence is encouraging. God uses to encourage us his promises, so many promises in the Bible. And those promises are reassuring. Those promises, faith comes when you hear the promises about Christ. And then he uses his people. So his presence, his promises, and his people. That's what God uses to encourage us. But how about us? What can we use practically? What can we use to encourage people? Well, I want to just give you three things you can use. These are, I hope it'll be practical and you'll start today. First thing you can use to become a source of encouragement is Christian fellowship. Like the great fellowship we have in this church here. I mean, coming early, staying late, Christian fellowship is where you participate in the body. It's Sunday mornings and small groups, maybe, or that meal after the service, the church before the church, we like to call it, the church after the church. It's being connected with people. Sometimes just your presence, just showing up, you've already been an encouragement to people. Isn't that right? Nick knows that. You know that. We're just showing up. And if you're on Zoom, and I know some are watching Zoom today, but just putting a little chat there. Say, I'm here. I'm watching with my wife, or I'm watching from so-and-so place. You know, just showing up. And, you know, encouragement or the fellowship that we have in Christ, it's not just, it doesn't mean eating a potluck lunch together. That's not, I mean, we have a fellowship, I guess you call it a fellowship hall downstairs, or a fellowship. But fellowship is from the Greek word koinonia. And it means a sharing or participation, that you have, you're sharing something in common, which is our Father's DNA. And we have this co-participation in the Lord because of Christ. It's on the basis, the fellowship is not on the basis that we all have the same opinions, political persuasion or background, or no. It's the basis of why we can have fellowship is because we're in a covenant relationship. We're connected to Christ. You could order that Lord's Supper cup thing on Amazon, and you can watch some of the best preaching in the world on YouTube. That is not what fellowship is about. It's about, you know, gathering together and doing life together. Fellowship, I was just thinking about this. Fellowship actually is an obedience to God's commands. It's not an optional thing. The Bible says over and over again, the one another passages. You've heard that. Encourage one another. Pray for one another. Confess to one another, right? Sing to, okay? Serve one another. Submit to. Greet. Teach. Accept one another. Honor. Bear with. I mean, it just goes on and forgive. On and on and on. So it's, fellowship is an obedience. It's one of the very practical ways to obey and a command of the Lord. Secondly, fellowship is an evidence that you are walking in the light. Am I walking in the light? I don't know. I go to church. You know? No, but when you have fellowship, that is a confirmation. It's an evidence that you are in the realm of light. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, you may have heard this. It says, if we are living in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Christ cleanses us from our sins. I used to think that that meant, well, if we're perfect and morally pure, then we can have fellowship. But if you're not perfect, I'm not going to fellowship with you. No, I think that could be the backwards way of interpreting this. Think about it. He's saying here, of course, we know light represents truth. Truth, as opposed to darkness and deception, hypocrisy from those that are living in the dark. But it does not say that if we live in the light, we go to church every Sunday. It doesn't say that if we live in the light, we never sin. I mean, you could do that and still have a bitter attitude that never encourages anyone. No, but it says here that if we're living in the light, there's a couple of truths that will be in place. Number one is that the blood, we're tapped into the blood of Jesus that cleanses us of sins, but also that we have fellowship with one another. There's an evidence right there that you're in light, that you are not living a secret life where you don't let anyone get to know you, where you are not just showing up in and out on a once a week religious program. No, you've got fellowship with people. That's a confirmation that you may not be perfect, but you're living your life open and accountable, in honest, real relational connections with other believers. So basically, if I'm living in the light, then it'll be seen in Christian fellowship. I'm not isolated from the brethren. I'm not just, you know, I'm rooted in the body of Christ. I'm rooted in a congregation where I'm engaged in fellowship. So things about fellowship, look, fellowship is an obedience to the command. It's a evidence that I'm living in the light. And obedience is also, protection from spiritual attack. Anybody have an experience being, you felt like you were just under spiritual attack? I mean, great, it could be a type of persecution. It could be intense temptations. But when we are on our own, we become vulnerable to all sorts of spiritual attack, temptation, deception, discouragement. But when we're living in fellowship with one another, there's a kind of protection, a spiritual protection. And breaking fellowship brings about a kind of danger, a kind of vulnerability. We have a couple in our church in the Philippines that left the church fellowship for a while. They were years away. They just left without saying why. And their lives began to go down. They quit attending. Their business did well. They had businesses. But the consequence of them leaving was their relationship with God grew cold. The relationship with each other grew worse. They shunned relationships with the church, probably because of guilt. But yes, it went from bad to worse. Eventually, the wife discovered that her husband was having an affair, an illicit affair with another woman. He had been secretly doing this, and they were starting to take the initial steps to end the marriage, to break it up. They were fighting already over the ownership of the businesses, but the wife missed serving the Lord alongside with other people in the church and eventually started to connect again, attending a small group first and then later attending the worship services on Sunday and asked for prayer. She got encouragement and counsel and recommitted herself to the Lord. And as she attended, her husband got engaged and began to attend with her and came forward and actually came to me and said, I need you to pray for me. I've got things in my life I want to change. And he asked for prayers. He humbled himself and recommitted himself to the Lord as well. And their marriage now is strong again. It didn't push through the plan that they had to break apart. And I just feel like that if it had not been for that lifeline of being in a church fellowship, that the devil could have just destroyed their family forever. And it makes me think of in the book of Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, have you heard that about the cities of refuge? These were these cities that were set up throughout Israel, and they were basically communities that provided protection, salvation for those people who had gotten themselves into some trouble. How many of you have gotten yourself into some sort of trouble sometime in the past? Yeah. But if you could go to one of these communities, and in that community, you would find mercy and salvation. You would be protected. The cities had no walls because their protection was not physical, but relational. It was the elders of the city, it were the people, the relationships there that protected the person who needed help. And these cities of refuge, I believe, are a type of a church congregation. We are. The church is a city of refuge, a place where people who have blown it can come and find mercy and grace to help in time of need. You stay in the fellowship, you're going to have a protection that you won't find anywhere else in the world. But if you walk away and break fellowship, you become kind of a target of the enemy. So being planted, that's the first thing that we can use to encourage one another. Use your church fellowship. Don't neglect meeting together. Do it all the more. The second thing we're going to use for encouraging one another is a Christ-like example, the way you live your life. Thankful in every circumstance, holding on to hope no matter what the world says, trusting the word of God and not just the news media, You know, and so when you have this lifestyle of faith and love, and you're forgiving those that may hurt your feelings, and Jesus said, you will be known as my disciples because of your love, because of the way you live out your example. When you serve and worship, and even at work, and fellowship is something we can do in the body, but how about outside when we're in the world? Let your light shine. Use your Christ-like example. And again, you might think, well, I'm not a very good example. I don't think people are going to come to Christ by looking at my life. Well, they would if you were intentional about it. You don't let a light shine just accidentally, but set it in your heart in the morning before you go out and say, Lord, use me. I attend a Rotary Club, and that's one of the ways I try to stay connected with lost people in the community. And as I'm going to the Rotary Club meeting, I always just say, Lord, use me as a light. Use my example. Let me be on the best. Let me represent you today well. And so Christ-like example is what we can use to bring people encouragement. You're an encouragement bringer when you have your life. I've had so many people in my life that have encouraged me just by their lives. I was I think I was even a part of this church before I got married. I don't remember if I came up here without my wife, but I had planned not to get married. I was a single. I was the bachelor. It's easier to move and all that. So I was like, Lord, and yet I had a man named Bill who mentored me. And I saw Bill and Barbara. He's an older guy. And I just said, you know, I don't plan to get married, but if ever I did get married, I'd want it to look like that. Because I've seen many marriages that just discouraged me as a single man. I'm like, I don't want to be a statistic. I don't want to end up like, you know, fighting and having problems. And when I saw Bill and Barbara's marriage, and they'd been faithful for their whole lifetime, and I was like, if ever I did get married, I'd want it to be like that. And it was just the example that encouraged me to overcome fear of commitment. And Bill spoke into my life and worked through some things. And I actually am married today because of the Christ-like example of Bill and Barbara. The minister where Bambi grew up in the Philippines is a very dynamic and very strong leader. And I've seen the way his enthusiasm and his lifestyle is an example to me of empowering leaders and training them to multiply disciples. And that was an encouragement to me. A woman named Judy, when I was a youth, and I was very introverted and didn't really speak about my faith. I was probably like the undercover Christian. But when I met Judy and I saw how evangelistic she was, setting up Bible studies, even with complete strangers, and sharing her faith openly without shame or apology, it encouraged me to have a passion to speak out about Jesus to the lost. And I wouldn't be doing the kind of work that I do today if I had not have had that example to follow. Jake McLeod was an example that he came to the Philippines, and he's a scientist guy. They knew that he was, they knew that he was smart and wealthy and had a lot of, and they knew he's a real man. And he was a great influence. His example showed and changed many, many of the men there because they realized, oh, I can be a man and a Christian. I can be a real man and faithful to my wife, like Jake. I can, and so his example, hardworking, honest, humble, teachable, a lover of the word of God. It was an example. And then people started to realize, wow, that's what I can be like. Bambi had a outreach to some of the young mothers in our church. And I want to show the video clip to you. Would you play that one that you very first started to play? But her example caused a chain reaction to other ladies in our church. And these two ladies share about how they saw Bambi and began to reach out like she did. Go ahead and play that, please. It might buffer just a little bit there.
Hi, I'm Rizzi. And I was inspired by my leader last year because she's leading mothers doon sa lugar sa Katbangin. And the Lord spoke to me this year na why not mag-minister din ako ng mga mothers even though wala pa akong karanasan na magkaranasan biologically, but the Lord give me the compassion to also care for others like Jesus cares for me. And now I'm leading 3 cell groups in 3 locations and mga nasa 23 mothers na po ang sinisal group ko ngayon. And by God's grace, yung love na nagpo-flow sa akin is yung love ni Lord through these people. And nakikita ko ang pagbabago ng Panginoon sa buhay nila. Life-changing. I was also encouraged by Ate Bambi when she is leading mothers during pandemic time. I saw and heard their testimonies, their life change, and even their salvation and healing in their families. There is peace. That's why I am encouraged also to lead mothers. And right now, I am currently handling 2 cell groups in different barangays. And my heart is overwhelmed and happy of what God is doing in their lives.
And the third thing that we're going to use, aside from our Christ-like example, is we're going to use just simply encouraging words. You're going to encourage people with words, uplifting conversations. Instead of pulling people down just to make ourselves feel better, we're going to use words to encourage people. Actually, the opposite. When you pull people down or insult or have words that just put people down, it's actually the opposite. It doesn't make you feel better. Encouraging others is one of those things. Like, you know,
the old song, love is something. If
you give it away. Encouragement is something. When you give it away, you end up getting encouraged. I say in our church, I say, if you have a need, sow a seed. If you need encouragement, I tell you, the very thing you should do is start encouraging people with your words. Use your mouth to plant seeds of encouragement, and you will harvest that which you plant. If you needed friendship, be a friend. If you need comfort, comfort someone. If you're feeling ill, find someone sick, really sicker than you, and pray for them. Whatever it is that you might be needing, in God's kingdom, when you give something away, it doesn't deplete what you have. It actually creates a harvest. Psalms, I've been looking at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, where it says, don't use foul or abusive language, but let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement. Words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. We don't have to be a part of every conversation. You don't have to voice out every opinion. Let it be only what is beneficial to build up others according to their needs. Ask God for wisdom before you speak, that you'll say the right thing at the right time. Because Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of our tongue. Proverbs 12:18, reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing, brings comfort. Let your words be wise. Comfort each other. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, comfort each other. Edify one another. Use faith-filled words to speak life. I heard it once, the 15 most encouraging words. Okay, so the first five of the 15 are, I am proud of you. I mean, come on, try it. Say it. I am proud of you. You say that to someone, it can really encourage you. Many people, even adults in their senior years, are trying still or wishing that they would have the approval of the Father and just saying, I'm proud of you. That can really encourage someone. The next 4 words would be, what do you think? I mean, soliciting someone's input, just valuing what they have to say. What do you think? That's a very encouraging thing to say. Another 3 words, will you please? Will you please? That's that polite asking. When you need something from someone, it oftentimes makes them feel valuable. And then the next 2 words are thank you. Just being grateful. Wherever you go, even those that serve you, just thank you, thank you. And of course, the last word that would be encouraging is using another person's name. Just using the first name. Nick. Joe, Bambi, Mark, as you just use someone's name, it can be a very encouraging thing. At night, we have a regular habit of blessing our son Zion. We put our hands on him, but we speak life to him. We speak blessing. I always say, you are my son, and I'm proud of you, and I love you, and I'll always accept you. I mean, words, it doesn't cost anything, but these are important words, and we continually sow seeds of life into Zion, like the Aaron priestly blessing. That's what we do to Zion. There was a man that we were talking with recently. Bambi and I were having lunch with a guy, and his name was Eric, and he and his son, he had his family broke apart, and his son at 19 or 20 years old would not talk to him, hasn't spoken to his father in so long, wouldn't reply to emails, texts, calls, wouldn't answer them. And he heard us talking about how we speak life over Zion and speak affirmations and words. And he went home and he said, I want to do that. And so he texted his son and he said, you're a good son and I love you. And immediately on that, the son texted him back and said, Dad, I'm sorry I haven't responded to you, but I love you, Dad. And there was an immediate fruit when he spoke encouraging words. I dare you to challenge. I challenge you to take your mouth and use it to plant some encouragement. I've been encouraged by so many people. I've been encouraged by your faith. I've been encouraged by this church, your giving, your consistency in serving the Lord. And this needs to be, this house, this Frederick Church of Christ needs to be a hub of encouragement, a place where people can come in. As soon as they walk in that door, they feel a wave of encouragement hit them. Somebody said something a while ago in the class time. It's like, I just felt accepted here. I love this church. What is it about the church? Is it the building? No, it's the people. You come into a place where God is, his presence is here, and the people of God are channeling encouragement. And you don't walk away feeling beaten down and having your encouragement and confidence sapped out of you, but you walk away feeling uplifted. That's what church is for. So our Christian fellowship, use that. Maximize that. Bring people who need encouragement into this house. Bring them, invite them. It's not a pressure, it's a benefit. Someday they'll thank you that you brought them into a place where they can receive encouragement. Use that Christian fellowship. Use your Christ-like example wherever you go and let your life shine and encourage people, because they'll see, oh, wow, he's still holding on faith. Everybody else is negative. Everybody else is bashing the government and bashing the job off of everything. But this is a person that has courage. And that will, I believe, be a light. And then, of course, use your words. And I hope that we can begin to exhibit and be a subsource of encouragement to the people. That's what the people need today. They need to be encouraged. We need to encourage each other. And I hope you're encouraged today. Would you pray with me right now? Father, we just thank you that you're our source, you're our supplier of encouragement. When we're in your presence, there's no way fear will get in, because there is no fear in your presence. There is no weapon that is fashioned against us that will prosper, but we will draw and withdraw, download from you great measures of encouragement. Fill us, Lord, with the confidence of our salvation. Fill us with the assurance of your promises. Remind us every day of how true your words are. Your promises are always yes and amen. And let us, Father, to be a subsource of this encouragement through our fellowship, through our example, and through our words. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you and encouraging to others. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all. Be encouraged.
Let's stand together. Sing one more song.